Do you all love Sundays as much as I do?
Yes, I do.
All right. They're the only ones who answered. They must be the only ones that love Sundays as much as I do. Do you love it?
Yes.
Are you glad you're here this morning?
Really glad.
Really glad. Did you hear that? I like that. Okay. All right. Well, since you're here, take out your bulletin. If you didn't get one, make sure that you get one on your way out. And let's take a look at what's not happening here this week. No, let's talk about what is happening. So we have Sunday school right after the morning service. We have on Wednesday Joy Bible Study here at 1 p.m. That's about it. Okay. Isn't that great? But we have some things coming up that are very important for you to be able to know. Next Sunday, we will be having a church family meeting right after the morning service. You can read in the bulletin what the purpose of that meeting is. If you have any questions, please talk to Robert or myself, and we will be more than happy to answer any specific questions about that you may have. Easter is coming.
Yay!
Just a few weeks. All right, and we're going to have our annual Easter Sunday breakfast. Crepes will be provided, right? Okay. And so we need more than just crepes, don't we, at our Easter Sunday breakfast? I think we do. And so there's a sign-up sheet out on the information table. So as you walk by there on your way out, don't do it during the worship service. Don't do it during the sermon. But as you walk by there a little later this morning or maybe this afternoon after Sunday school, make sure that you stop and sign up to help bring some things to complete the meal. Can you all do that? Great. Okay, there's lots of other things in the bulletin for you to be able to know. Are you glad you're here this morning?
Yeah.
Well, okay, it's getting a little better. All right. Maybe by the time the service is over in a little while, you'll all be glad that you were here, right? I know that I'm glad that I'm here. It's family reunion day, amen?
Amen.
Church family reunion day. All right, well, let's lift our voices in praise to the Lord, and then let's make sure that we have our spiritual ears open to hear what God has to say to us from His Word in just a little bit. You ready? I am. Hope you are too.
Would you all stand with me for this first song? It's a new song. You may have heard it on the radio. It's called This Is Our God.
Remember those walls that we called sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But He came and He died and He rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But He came and He died and He rose. Those giants are dead now. This is our God, this is who He is, He loves us. This is our God, this is what He does, He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus. Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But He heard every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of His faithfulness. Never once did He fail, and He never will. Oh, this is our God, this is who He is, He loves us. This is our God, this is what He does, He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus, who pulled me out of that pit. He did, He did. Who paid for all of our sin. Nobody but Jesus, who rescued me from that grave. Yahweh, Yahweh, who gets the glory and praise. Nobody but Jesus, who rescued me from that grave. Yahweh, Yahweh, who gets the glory and praise. Nobody but Him. This is our God, this is who He is. He loves us. And this is our God, this is what He does. He saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus. Give the Lord a round of applause this morning. Come on. This is our God. This is what He is. This is what He does. All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. King of kings and Lord of lords. Bright morning star, and for all eternity, I'm going to praise Him, and forevermore, I will reign with Him. All hail King Jesus. All hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, the King of kings and Lord of lords, bright morning star, and for all eternity, I'm going to praise Him, and forevermore I will reign with Him, and for all eternity I'm going to praise Him. And forevermore, I will reign with Him.
Lord, we are here for You today. We're here to sing about You, to praise You, our great and mighty King. Lord, we love You. And we thank You for this day. We thank You for this opportunity. Lord, help us not to miss it. Help us not to miss this time with You, Jesus. We love You. In the name of Jesus, we all pray. Amen. Please be seated as we continue this morning.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged, Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. And in his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Everything to God in prayer. I've got a friend closer than a brother. And there is no judgment. Oh, how he loves me. I've got a friend, and he is my strength. He is my portion. With me in the valley, with me in the fire, with me in the storm. Let all my life testify, hallelujah, we are not. Mercy's enough. His grace is sufficient. So come if you're needing forgiveness or healing. His mercy's enough. Oh, and this is our hope. The cross it has spoken. Death is no more. Christ is the Lord. Oh, this is our hope. Hallelujah. We are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Father, what a friend, what a Savior he is. What a Father, what a friend, What a Savior he is. Oh, what a Father. What a friend. What a Savior he is. What a Father. What a friend. What a Savior he is. Hallelujah. We are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise my soul. God really loves us. God really loves us.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. It's what helps us to go on. This is our hope. Death is no more. Christ is the Lord. And God really loves us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for that hope and that assurance. Lord, thank you that you care about even us. We love you. Amen. Arshu's going to take this morning's offering, and we're going to sing you one more song about God's amazing love.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. And we are his portion and he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves. He loves us so. Us so.
Do you feel loved this morning? Do you know how much he loves you? He loved you so much that he sent the very best that heaven had to offer to come to this earth, to grow to them, to be a man, to go to the cross, so that you and I could have a Savior. That's how much he loves us. I think all of us don't have a problem wrapping our heads and our hearts around how much God loves us. I think the better question is, how much do we love him? When was the last time you said to God, I love you? You know, you can do that right now. You could do that right now. I want to encourage you to just take a moment. Maybe close your eyes. Open your heart. And say, God, I love you. God, I love you for who you are. God, I love you for all that you are. God, I love you for what you have done. God, I love you for what you have done for me. You sent Jesus to go to the cross, to pay the debt of sin that I owed. He didn't have to. You didn't have to provide that perfect sacrifice. You didn't have to pay. You didn't have to send a propitiation to pay the debt of sin that you required from me. But you did, because you loved me. We love you, God, because you first loved us. I love you, God, because you first loved me. And Father, I want my love for you to grow stronger and stronger, day after day, moment after moment. God, I love you. In Jesus' name. Come on down, kids. We'll get you ready for children's church. Isn't it good when God's Spirit just moves? Amen. Whew. I didn't have that in the script, so. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. Father, we love you because you first loved us. And Father, I pray that our love will not just elicit songs from our hearts, but it will elicit acts of obedience from our very lives. Father, now may our hearts be open as we hear your word brought forth. And Father, may they just not be words from a preacher or words from a teacher. Father, may they be your words that get to our heart, that we can fully be dedicated to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn back in your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 2. Continuing on in our study of Acts chapter 2. And while you're turning there, I'm going to get a little juice this morning. Many of you didn't know that windmills ran by water, did you? So as a church, one of our important purposes is to equip believers to be dedicated disciples. That's what we're all about. As we, as leaders within Lake Hazel Bible Church, as we provide leadership, as we decide a direction, as we decide what it is that as a church God wants us to be and what it is that God wants us to do, the focal point of all of our discussion, the focal point of all of our prayers is, Are we the church that God wants us to be, that is equipping believers to be dedicated disciples? Now, last Sunday, we looked at the blueprint of a sermon. And we talked about the fact that one of the ways that God helps us as a church to be able to equip disciples is through the preaching of God's word. We saw that Peter started by first getting his listeners' attention. And then he went to the truce, not his own truce, not the truce of the philosophies and the educated people around him. He went to the truce of the word of God. And this caused his listeners to have some response. This caused his listeners to look upward so that their focus was on God. And then to look inward, to be able to see if they really do love God. If they love God enough to be able to follow him as his disciple. And then to look outward, to be able to take the message of the gospel to those around them, to be able to have conversations with people around them about what God has done and who God is. We learned that whenever we hear a sermon, we too need to have that same response. We need to look upward. The focus needs to be on God. And then we need to look inward and check ourselves, check our hearts, check our motivation, and then look outward and be praying and taking every opportunity that God gives to us to be able to share about him. Last week, we looked at a large section of God's word here in Acts chapter 2, and today we're going to narrow it down to just two verses, verses 42 and 43 of Acts chapter 2. Now, I know you're all thinking, whoa, okay. Last week's sermon went a little bit long. This time we're only settling on two verses, so maybe don't even think that. Okay? Hopefully by now you've found Acts chapter 2. Follow along as I read verses 42 and 43. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and all. I like that word, all. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. You see, the action of discipleship will determine our worship of God, our ministry for God, and our impact in his mission. Remember, as we've gone into this study here in the book of Acts, I said that our focus was going to be on God's mission. There's a whole lot of things that a whole lot of churches and a whole lot of preachers focus on when it comes to the book of Acts. Our focus is going to be on God's mission. So in order for us to maintain our focus, there are some things we need to know, and there are some things we need to know as dedicated disciples. First, we need to have a strong devotion to God. We need to have a strong devotion to God. If you're taking notes at the back of your bulletin, that's point number one. This is true as individual believers, and it is true as dedicated disciples within the church. Now, verse 42 is linked to verse 41 by the word and. They is a reference to these new believers who what? Devoted themselves. Now, this word devoted is an interesting word in the Greek. It means staying close, holding on faithfully, and continuing steadfastly. Those are good words, aren't they? Those are good descriptions of the word devoted. And this word devoted in the Greek is in the imperfect tense, meaning it was ongoing. It was happening over and over and over. Again, what was happening? They were devoting themselves to God. They were devoting themselves to being dedicated disciples of Jesus. Here's how the meaning of devoted themselves is in another passage. We looked at this in our study of Acts chapter 1. It's in verse 14. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. Now, this idea is further developed in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, where we read of Jesus' determination to go to the cross. It tells us in Luke, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. That phrase, set his face, is the same as being devoted. He was devoted to what? Doing what God had sent him to do and to be. Become what God had designed for him to become, to be the Savior. He set his face. This tells us that there was no stopping Jesus from what he came to accomplish, and there was no stopping these disciples who were steadfast in their devotion. There was nothing stopping them from being the dedicated disciples that God, they knew, wanted them to be. So you know what? There's a lesson for us here. We need to be done with dull discipleship and half-hearted holiness. God longs for us to be deeply dedicated to him. And it will make a difference in the way that we get involved in his mission. Now notice, this is an act of the will, because it says they devoted themselves, each one taking it upon themselves to be able to what? To make the determination that they were going to be dedicated disciples for Jesus. And this dedication didn't happen automatically. And no one could do it for them. The apostles couldn't do it for them. They had to do it themselves. These Jesus followers decided to be all in, to give their all to the one who gave his all for them. They knew the depth of their devotion would determine their availability and their impact for God's mission. Now remember, here in these early chapters of the book of Acts, we are seeing the birth of an entity that God is using to be able to spread the message of what Jesus had come to do. That was his mission. And this church was something that was brand new. And so as the disciples were dedicating themselves, not just the 12, but the disciples that heard the message of the gospel, believed it, was growing in their spiritual maturity. When they heard this, they brought that into this new entity, the church. And as their dedication to being a disciple grew, so did the church's dedication to being all that God wanted this new entity to be able to be and to do. You know, the stronger that the disciples are within a church, the stronger the church. Let me say that again. The stronger that the disciples are within the church, the stronger the church. So, let me just share with you for a few moments four components of a dedicated church. I think you have those in your notes in the back of the bulletin. The first one is preaching. The first thing these believers dedicated themselves to was the teaching of the apostles. How did the apostles teach? They got up and they preached. We saw that with who? Peter. We saw that in the early verses of chapter 2. The teaching of the apostles first and foremost involved the gospel and the explanation of Old Testament passages, like what we saw Peter preach earlier in this chapter when he preached from the book of Joel and from two specific psalms. Now, the Greek word for teaching here means doctrine. There's some people who don't like to hear the word doctrine. They just kind of, the hair stands up on the back of their neck, their veins pop out. They just don't like that. But doctrine simply means teaching. And it is used of the action of both the teaching and the content. So the apostles were what? Teaching. And what were they teaching? They were teaching what God had revealed to them. They were teaching what? God's word. God's truth. And they were hoping by people hearing God's word and God's truth, it would change their lives. They would come to believe in Jesus as Savior, and then they would come to what? Dedicate themselves to be the disciples that God was needing to be involved in his mission as he's using this new entity to be able to what? Spread the news about him. You see, in order to grow to spiritual maturity, these new believers needed to hear and needed to know God's word. And it's not any different in 2023. In order to grow spiritually, us as believers, we need to hear and we need to know God's word. And one of the ways that we do that is through the preaching and the teaching of God's word. And here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, we are committed to the importance of biblical preaching. We're not committed to the proclamation of the prosperity gospel, gimmicky techniques, or motivational pep talks. We hold to sola scriptura, which means scripture alone. We are all about the truths of God's word and God's word alone. We kind of focused on that a little bit last week, so I'm not going to go back and try to reinforce that this morning. We declare God's word as our highest and final authority. We appreciate what the Bible says about itself in Psalm 19, verses 7 through 8, where it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." That word law can also be known as God's word, reviving the soul. "The testimony of the Lord is sure." That word testimony can equate to God's word, making wise the simple. "The precepts of the Lord are right." That word precepts, same as God's word, rejoicing the heart. "The commandment," that word commandment, same as, you got it, God's word. "The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." So therefore, a dedicated church must have dedicated disciples committed to sound, I'm going to use that word, doctrine. You see, we get the Bible into our heart by first getting it into our head. God's word lives in our heart when we let it get into us. And once it gets into us, then it's not that hard to be able to get it out to us, to those around us. But first, we what? Have to get it in order to give it out. The Bible is demonstrated through our lives as we obey God's word. Chuck Swindoll says it like this: "It's not how quickly you get through the Bible, but how quickly the Bible gets through to you." Whoa, that's kind of neat, isn't it? We need to continually dedicate ourselves to hearing and following the preaching and teaching of God's word. The second thing of a dedicated church is a partnering. The second thing these believers dedicated themselves to was the fellowship. And fellowship comes from the Greek word koinonia, which means a common shared partnership. Now, this partnership involves participation and is more than just the church family having casual conversations about the news, the weather, or about sports, unless it's the Kansas City Chiefs. It's being committed to the common cause of God's mission of sharing the message of the gospel. And this is brought out in Philippians chapter 1, verse 5, where Paul says, "Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." That word partnership, koinonia, same as fellowship. Now note, this is the fellowship, meaning it was a specific group of people they were partners with. And you know what? This tells us why it's so important to gather together with God's people. And it's one of our joys as a church family. Remember I asked you this morning, are you glad to be here this morning with your church family? Are you glad? Are you glad to be here now with your church family? Shouldn't change just because we go from a song service to a preaching service. You know, how many of you know the song, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds"? Here's the first verse. "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above." But let's be honest. it's not always easy to be with other believers, is it? For many of us, these lyrics are truer to our attitudes. To dwell above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell below with saints we know, well, that's another story. You know, though, thinking about this, the fellowship, we need to remember that there are 59 one another instructions in the New Testament. Love one another, serve one. I'm not going to go through all 59 of them. Love one another, serve one another, bear with one another, and many others. One third of these one another instructions are about unity. And the only way to obey these one another instructions is to be in fellowship with one another. You're all going, no, duh. But you know what? How many times do we let things interfere with us truly being in fellowship with our church family? The historian Tertullian reported about a time when the Roman government became suspicious of the early church, and they sent spies into the church services. The spies came back and reported that Christians were very unusual. They did not have idols, but instead worshipped one by the name of Jesus who was absent. The spies added, oh, how those Christians love each other, how they have fellowship, koinonia, one with the other. Folks, let's not let things distract us. Let things keep us from enjoying the koinonia that we can have with those in our church family. Another thing that's evident in a dedicated church is the idea of partaking. Now, this partaking is talked about and it's referred to as the breaking of bread. Now, this phrase has a dual meaning. First, it is often referred to the simple act of meeting together. We see this in Acts chapter 27, verses 35 and 36, where it says, and when he had said these things, he took bread, and giving thanks to God in the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then they all were encouraged and ate some food themselves. Can I clue you in? There's a reason why Lake Hazel Bible Church has church family dinners. There's a reason why we have an Easter breakfast. It's not so that we can get you out of bed early to make sure that you get to church. That's not our motivation for the Christmas breakfast either. We don't have church family dinners just so that we can use the plates and napkins that, you know, the church pays for and the nice little utensils that we use that break sometimes. That gets frustrating when it happens. No, we do that. Why? So that we can partake together. Because as a dedicated church, we need to be what? Partaking with each other. Partaking of what? Meals. Partaking of what? Food. Not just taking in spiritual food, but from time to time taking in physical food as well. That's why we have men's breakfast. That's why there's a woman's coffee connection. It's for us to be able to what? Partake together. As we what? Enjoy koinonia. As we enjoy partnering to one another. To have a meal with other believers is to say that you are at peace with them. Now, in Bible times, when a guest was invited to a meal with his host, it was important for the host to provide protection for this guest. Have you ever wondered what Psalm 23:5 means, where it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies? That's what it means. Because as a host, you were to be able to make sure that as you invited guests to your house, you provided a safe place for them. A place of protection. That included the meal that you were serving, as well as the atmosphere that was part of the time of the meal as well. There was a young boy who was messing around at the dinner table. After being warned several times, his parents finally told him he had to eat by himself at a tiny table in the corner. When he sat down, his dad reminded him to pray before he ate. So the little boy closed his eyes and prayed, Bless this food that I eat in the presence of my enemies. Now, the second use of this phrase is rooted in the words given by Jesus when he celebrated the memorial meal with his disciples prior to going to the cross. It's given to us in Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, where it says, "And Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Now, many of you will say, "Well, that's part of communion." That's exactly right. We're to partake in communion together. By the way, next Sunday here at Lake Hazel Bible Church is, guess what? Communion Sunday. I hope you have it on your calendar to be here, to be able to partake in communion with your church family. Communion reminds us of our common union in Jesus. We do it because Jesus instructed it. We do it because it pictures the truth of the gospel. And we do it because it maintains unity within the church. Another aspect of a dedicated church is praying. Remember, it said that they were devoted to prayers. This literally reads in the Greek, they were continually devoting themselves to the prayers. And it refers to a set time of corporate prayer along with various times of individual prayer. In the beginning days of the church, believers were steadfast in the observance of specified times of prayer. They were all about praying, privately and publicly. Now, I came to the conclusion as I was putting this message together this morning that we don't need more preaching on prayer. We need more ways to practice prayer. So let me give you some practical ways to help you pray. Pray every day before reading God's word. Pray every day before reading God's word. Do you know what that means then? That means you need to be reading God's word. When? Every day. Pray before you read God's word. Pray while you're reading God's word. And pray when you're finished reading God's word. Pray while you're driving. Becky prays for me when I'm driving, whether she's with me or not, but especially when she is with me. I pray when I'm driving. Now remember, you don't have to close your eyes, bow your head, fold your hands in order to pray. You can pray with your eyes open, with your hands on the steering wheel, looking at what's going on around you. I do that all the time. And the more traffic that there is out there, the more I pray every day when I'm driving to and from places. Pray for your neighbors and coworkers and classmates. Pray for your friends and your loved ones. Pray before and during sermons, but don't pray for 5-minute sermons. And don't fall asleep while praying. One of my prayers as we began this study in the book of Acts comes from Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And I want this to be ongoing here at Lake Hazel Bible Church. It says, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." You see, I want Lake Hazel Bible Church to be a place of prayer. I want it, when we are gathered together, to be able to know that prayer has made a difference in our lives as individuals. And as we come together as a church, it makes a difference in the life of our church. That we understand that we are filled with the Holy Spirit and that God's truth, the word of God, will continue to be spoken here with boldness. Second thing I want us to look at this morning is that we need to have a proper reverence for God. When we dedicate ourselves as faithful disciples, God will awaken our awe of him. Here in the beginning of the church, this was not an accidental awe, but it came about because of their willing devotion. When we do what God wants, we get to see him do what he wants, which leads us to worship and praise, leads us to spiritual growth, and leads us also to spiritual service. Did you remember what it says in verse 43? And awe came upon every soul. You know, we can be a dedicated disciple and we can be in awe of what God is doing. What God is doing in us. What God is doing in the church. Or we can be a dedicated disciple and not realize, not understand, miss what it is that God is doing in us and in the church. This word awe means a reverential fear, respect, and honor. And the tense of this phrase, awe came upon every soul, helps us see that it was not a one-time event, because awe kept on coming and kept on coming. And you know what? I want that for you, that you, every moment of every day, see what God is doing in you. Every time you come to church, I want you to see what God is doing in the church and be filled with awe. I want us to be that kind of a church. And notice that this sense of awe was not limited to a few, but it came upon every soul. Awe is the proper reaction to the worth and work of Jesus. But sadly, there is not a lot of biblical awe in the church today, and there's a sad reason for this. Several years ago, I read an article about the church, and I don't remember who the author was, and I don't even remember where I read the article, but the article stuck with me, and I saved it for just such a time as to when I was going to be speaking about the church specifically. Now's that time. And the author was saying that most churches today are either cruise ship churches or aircraft carrier churches. Now, people who attend cruise ship churches, much like cruise ship passengers, often come to be entertained and catered by the staff. Very little is expected of these church attendees. In fact, they tend to rate the quality of their experience, the music, the sermon, and the way it made them feel, much like the cruise ship passengers rate their satisfaction with various aspects of their trip. Cruise ship churches tend to be internally focused on the needs of their regularly attending members. The main goal in these churches, as on a cruise ship, is to keep the customer happy and the complaints to a minimum. Leaders in a cruise ship church focus on the existing members rather than being involved in God's mission or encourage others to do so. Then the author of this article went on to say that there are churches that are more like aircraft carriers. These churches are designed to help their church family to believe in Jesus as Savior, encourage them to know and obey God's instructions for them, to use their Holy Spirit gift for God's purposes, to equip them for spiritual service, much like the crew of an aircraft carrier, is all about launching military planes and equipping them well to carry out what? Successful missions. Did you know that an aircraft carrier is the same size as many cruise ships? And that aircraft carriers and cruise ships house thousands of people? But what distinguishes an aircraft carrier ship isn't its size, it's the efficiency of it carrying out its mission. The crew of an aircraft carrier can launch a plane every 25 seconds. All in a fraction of the space of a typical landing strip. The mission pervades every aspect of the ship, from the pilot of the planes to the person who cleans the ship's bathrooms. Everyone on a carrier knows his or her particular role and how it supports the mission to equip, prepare, launch, and receive aircraft back from their crucial assignments. An aircraft carrier church has a clear mission directed by Jesus. Everyone in the church knows that God has given them an opportunity for involvement in the mission, and they get involved in God's mission. So let me ask you a question. Which kind of a church would you rather be a part of? The cruise ship church or the aircraft carrier? As a pastor, I don't want to pastor a cruise ship church. I want to pastor an aircraft carrier church. One who knows what the mission is. One who knows that every single person, every dedicated disciple within that church knows what their part is in God's mission for us individually and for us as a church. So what do we learn from these two verses? What do we learn by looking at this in God's word this morning? Let me give you a couple things. First, the Lake Hazel Bible Church should never become a me church. This isn't about me. This is about God. This isn't about what I want. It's about what God wants. It isn't about what I want done. It's about fulfilling the mission that God has called all of us as dedicated disciples who he's called to be a part of Lake Hazel Bible Church in some way. We should never become a me church. And all of us should allow God to help us to continue to be his dedicated disciples. Father, that's what we yearn for. That's what we long for. Father, that's why we come week after week to hear your word. Father, we come so that we can be the dedicated disciples we know that you desire for each one of us to be. And Father, I pray that you will help us to be strong in our dedication to you as disciples, because as we are strong, dedicated disciples for you, then our church will be a place where strong, dedicated disciples are developed and equipped to be involved in the mission that you have given to us. Father, it's about the mission. It's not about us. Help us to hold on to that in the days yet to come. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Go ahead and stand with me for this last song, My Jesus, I Love Thee. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My grace Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the death dew lies cold on my brow.
come in mansions of glory and endless delight. I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Amen. See you at Sunday school in just a few minutes.